That's pretty wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations for a moment. I want you to imagine that you have decided that you're going to go visit a friend. Your friend has asked you to come and visit for 6 days. So you said, sure. And you go. Now, your friend is married and has a very young child, a baby. The baby is just starting to walk. So you get there, and in those 6 days, you see this child repeatedly pulling up. She can pull up very well. So she pulls up on tables, she pulls up on chairs, and she stands there, and then she falls. And you see it day after day, and she crawls beautifully, and she will occasionally then try it again. Stands and falls over and over until the sixth day, when the last day that you're there, you're going to leave the next morning, and you see her, and she pulls up, and she once again tries this stepping out, and she makes a step, and she makes another step, and then she falls. Now, if you didn't know, if you hadn't been around kids, if you hadn't had your own kids, you might think, just based on the evidence of what you've seen, this child is not going to walk. Tried and tried and tried. She tried for a whole week, nearly, and was not successful. She kept falling. And even on the last day, when she did take a step or two, she still couldn't do it. So evidence might point to, it's not going to work. She's not going to walk. Now, we all know that's just silly. We know that that child is going to be getting into stuff that we don't want her to very quickly. See, everything goes up, if I remember right. A higher level, you know. But we are creations that do that. We sort, we analyze, we see, we have all this input coming in, and we begin to make decisions and come to conclusions and then make decisions based on what we perceive and what we make meaning of. We would have to do this. This is kind of a necessary thing to have in our lives, because imagine, just for a moment, think about all of the input that's coming to us through our senses. There is so much that's happening all the time. If we didn't have an ability to screen some of it out without even being aware of it, to categorize, to say, here comes this, I've seen this before, it's like this, and put it in a box. If we weren't able to do that, we'd be paralyzed. We would never be able to get much done. So it's a good thing that we do that. To a degree. Now, the other piece of it is, do you remember in Brené Brown's book that we covered, Daring Greatly, she talks about the gaps in our awareness, the gaps in our knowledge. So when we don't, when there, we know this, we know this, we know this, and then there's a piece we don't know, we'll fill it up, we'll fill it, we'll make something up to make the story continuous. Sometimes that's fine. I just got a picture of the Bible scholars. When there are sacred texts, there are fragments, you know, of the papyrus or whatever it is that's written on, and so then they try to imagine what is going to be there, and most likely it would be these words, you know, something like that. So this is also a common practice, but it too can be misused. I'm getting a lot better, but I used to be one of the best at making things up. Did you ever make things up? Oh, yeah, okay. I used to, particularly if, say, a friend hadn't called me for a while. Oh, wonder why she hasn't called. I wonder if she's mad at me. And then I begin to go over the most recent conversations that I've had with that person. I'm like, well, do you think maybe she got offended by blah, 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 blah. And if I get myself worked up enough, and that's happened, I might even call her and say, look, I am really sorry that I said such and such and such. And she says, what? What? So I totally made up this whole story. Okay, so knowing that we are analyzing people. That's we're wired that way, knowing that we make up things. What is a way that we could harness the power of utilize that in positive, constructive ways? There is a way. There is a way that we can do that. One other illustration before we get into how we can do that is I remember that when I was married, we had a little girl, Natalie, and when she was young, we bought these books called Sweet Pickles books. Anybody familiar with those? Yeah. Each book had a main character, and it was an animal, and it had some trait, and so that each book had a lesson that was important. One of my favorites was Very Worried Walrus. Walrus was just worried. He worried about lots of things. Now, I come from a line of worriers. I'm you know, I can do that with the best of them, or I could. I've gotten a lot better about that too. Walrus, though, in the book, was very worried about his riding his bicycle. He had a bicycle, and so he began to tell one of the other residents of the town, if I get on that bicycle and ride, I might run into that wall over there. And then if I run into that wall over there, it's probably going to mess up my bike. I'm going to have to get that either replaced or fixed. And I might well hurt myself. I might break my leg. And if I break my leg, then I can't go to work. And if I can't go to work, then I won't be making any money. And if I can't make any money, then I can't pay my bills. They're going to come after me. I could lose my house, you know, on and on and on. Now, those aren't the specifics of what Walrus was worrying about in the book, but it was something like that. He never even stepped on the bike. But in the book, it's if this and then this could happen. Do you ever know anybody that could extrapolate a whole big story, you know, for nothing? Nothing happened. So we do that. And there is a way to harness the power of that. There's this book. It's called The Isaiah Effect. The subtitle is Decoding the Lost Science of Prayer and Prophecy. The Isaiah Effect is by Greg Braden, and I discovered this book in the early 2000s. And it just changed a lot of things for me, particularly about prayer, because it says the lost science of prayer. It's based on the book of Isaiah, and the book of Isaiah is kind of interesting in that it's a very long book, and even though in the text it says, you know, I am Isaiah, you know, so on, scholars think it was actually written by three different authors. But the thing that's unique about Isaiah is that there is a description of doom and gloom, and then there's a description of like milk and honey, wonderful things that are going to happen, and another description of doom and gloom. It goes back and forth. Just a real brief example of a couple of those. Here's one of the positive ones. This is in Isaiah 11. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. What an amazing picture, description of peace. Even among animals, even meat eaters are eating straw. They're all getting along. What a wonderful picture of peace. Now, you just go another page over. Isaiah 13. Wail, this is verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and every human heart will melt, and they will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them, and they will be in anguish like a woman in labor. That hurts, I can tell you. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be inflamed. See, the day of the Lord comes cruel with wrath and fierce anger to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light, and the moon will not shed its light. A pretty grim description of the way things are going to be. So we have this wonderful picture of peace, and then this picture of devastation so severe that even the stars aren't going to shine. Now, in the past, it had been believed that these prophecies were sequential. So first there would be a time of plenty, then there would be a time of challenge, then there would be another good time and another bad time. Braden, though, in this book says, what if these aren't outcomes necessarily, sequential outcomes, what if they are each possibilities? So the idea that he introduces to us is that maybe we have an ability to create possibilities, to choose what we want our future to be. It's a very powerful, powerful concept, and it goes along really beautifully with what you were singing, too. Okay, the process that one would use to do this, because we're unity, we know about affirmative prayer, we know that in the New Thought movement, we know how important our thoughts are, and so when we do affirmative prayer, our thoughts are, you know, that's very important. Braden takes it even a step further. His process says that when you have thought and feeling and emotion aligned, there is great power in that. That is a prayer that is very effective. For example, if I have a thought, I'd like to run a 5K. There's a thought. Another thought is, I'd like to run a marathon. Now, the marathon doesn't really, you know, nothing goes, oh yeah, let's do that. Nothing does that here. But the 5K thought, there is a feeling in there that goes, oh, that's a possibility. I've done that before. I enjoyed it. And then emotion begins to rise up. I could, you know, that would be a cool thing to do. I remember how good it felt to be having my body move. I remember how good it felt to cross the finish line. I'm not fast, but to do that again, when I have the thought and the feeling and the emotion all centered on one thing, I'm not ensuring that prayer will come true. What I am assuring is that I have created the possibility. This is kind of based on quantum physics, actually, but the idea is that as we think about these things, as we have these thoughts, when we put thought, feeling, and emotion together, it creates a possibility, creates another possibility. And when we keep a lot of thought and a lot of feeling, you know, bring it up to mind frequently, the stronger that possibility gets. There's something he said in his book. As we sense, perceive, and express ourselves throughout the day, we are in constant prayer. When we know what we're doing, we might be more mindful of it. How many of us go through a day and we are aware that we get upset about something? There's something that comes into our awareness, we get upset about it, and sometimes we hold on to that upsetness, we just stay there, dwell on it. What are we doing? We're putting a lot of thought, feeling, and emotion behind something that may not be what we want. It's very, very powerful. He also says, the choice of many people focused in a specific manner has a direct and measurable effect on our quality of life. Who could remember when the Pope came to St. Louis? Do you remember that? It's been a while back. I can't, maybe 90s. I don't remember when. But I remember that he came in the winter. It seems like it might have been February. And there were people, women, pink ladies, they were called, assigned the task to pray for good weather. I think the pink ladies were an order of nuns. Is that correct? Yes. Yeah. So that was their job. And guess what? We had good weather for the Pope. He was in his Pope mobile, and I don't think I saw it, but maybe I saw it on TV. He had his, Pope mobile. I thought he was on Tucker downtown, but anyway. So the Pope came. These pink ladies focused their prayer. Coincidence? Maybe. Or maybe it was just a whole lot of people having the same thought, the same feeling, and the same emotion focused in a way that created a huge possibility. He has another very powerful example that I think is a very powerful example. You might remember this too. On Friday, November 13th, 1998, a mass prayer was implemented on a worldwide basis as a choice of peace during a time of escalating political tension in many parts of the world. Of specific interest that day was the expiration of a timeline imposed on Iraq to comply with the United Nations demand for weapons inspections. Some of us might remember that too. Following months of unsuccessful negotiations for access into sensitive sites, the nations of the world had made it clear that Iraq's failure to comply would result in a massive and extended bombing campaign designed to destroy suspected weapons sites. Such a campaign would certainly have resulted in a great loss of life, civilian as well as military. Linked through a global community accessing the World Wide Web, several hundred thousand people chose peace in a mass prayer carefully synchronized to precise moments that evening. During the time of the prayer, an event occurred that many considered to be a miracle. 30 minutes into the aerial attack, the President of the United States, having received a letter from Iraqi officials stating that they would now cooperate with the requested weapons inspections, issued a rare order to U.S. forces to stand down, the military term for aborting a mission. The chances of such an event happening by coincidence in the same time window as the global prayer are small. Coincidence? Maybe. Maybe not. I believe that there is a good chance, a really good chance, that the possibility, the probability that was created by that mass prayer of everyone focused on peace at the same time created a window for something different to happen. Well, what about us? This is a very emotional time right now. Things are tough. People are now counting down. How many more days are there until this election is finished? Think about for a moment all of the hate that we're hearing. Think about all of the negativity. People have become enemies. People have given up friendships. They've had rifts with their families over things as they are now. How do we weigh in with all of this swirl of energy that's happening? Where are we putting our thoughts and feelings and emotions? Are we placing them on, oh my gosh, if this happens, this is, are we putting them there? Or are we doing something different? Are we like the parents of the little girl who is learning to stand up? Are we like those parents? They know that she's going to walk. They absolutely know it without a doubt. This is going to be a good outcome. Are we thinking that this is going to be a good outcome? Could we think that? Could we hold on to the thought, begin to have some feeling and some emotion behind it? All is well. My God is bigger than any outer appearances. I trust all is well. Could we do that? If we can, when we can, we will feel much better. So many people I've talked to have, and including myself, have gotten upset about things, and so they've, in fact, I've even read that some of the therapists, the psychologists and so forth, are saying that this is, people are needing drugs, they're needing help, emotional help to get through this season. So it's a particularly intense time. But what if we begin to put in our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions of a positive outcome? We don't have to know what it's going to be like. We didn't, you know, the people that were praying for the for peace, that's what they were praying for when this Iraqi crisis came up and it was averted. There were many, many people praying that the latest hurricane was going to go out to sea, and it did. It did go out to sea. Many, many people's lives, I think, that were possibly in danger, everything was fine. There is huge power. So we're going to feel better if we can hold on to that thought of harmony, hold on to that thought of the highest and the best, that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. Great blessings are coming from this time. I don't know what they're going to look like. I don't know what they are, but I know it will be all right. This decoding the lost science of prayer, I think this is an amazing, amazing idea and amazing tool. It fits really well with our third basic principle, which is the law of mind action. We are new thought people, and we know how important thought is. Not only does it fit well, I think it's even kind of a how-to. Because we've said we want to do affirmative prayer and we have examples, but this is really powerful to say, this is how I'm going to pray. I am going to monitor my thoughts. I know I tend to make things up. I know that I judge by outer appearances. But knowing that, I'm going to put my thoughts on what I want. And knowing that, I'm going to then cultivate that feeling, peace, or whatever it is that I'm envisioning. So I choose what I want, and then I put my energies there with feeling and emotion. And I believe it is very powerful, saves a lot of wear and tear on my emotions. It's good for me, and it's good for the world. So I have an invitation, and that is for you, and it is for us, and it is for the world. Starting today, I invite you to take this process into your mind and into your heart. Thought, feeling, and emotion. And as you remember that, then you're able to begin to transform the ways that you think, transform the ways that you choose the life that you want. There aren't really inconsistencies. The book of Isaiah isn't really inconsistent. It is very likely a series of possibilities. Let's go create some positive possibilities. And let's take this opportunity, as we do each week, to practice that connection that we have with Source. To practice the oneness that is the truth of us, the truth of our connection with Source. We are all one. So I invite you to gently close your outer eyes. I invite you to observe your body right now. Notice where there might be places of tightness or tension, and bring a loving intention, a loving awareness to that spot. Feel that tightness dissolve. Scan your body. And dissolve tightness, tension, anywhere and everywhere you find it. And then we breathe deeply and slowly. We become still. We still our outer bodies and we still our minds. Thoughts may want to pop up, and they will, but just let them float on by. Keep your attention just on the breath. How your body feels as the breath comes in, how it feels as it is released. We are beloved creations of God. We are in truth spiritual beings created in the image and likeness of that source. We are powerful beyond what we beyond what we know, beyond what we think. The truth of us is that we are love. And as we hold on to that thought, as we feel that thought, we can feel the love in our bodies. And as we have emotion about that, how grateful we are that love is our true nature. That regardless of this outer shell that houses us, we are in truth love. We do grow love. Every time we have this thought, every time we hold on to it, every time we feel it. In the same way, we have a thought of peace. And then we begin to feel peace. We can feel our shoulders drop even more as we are feeling and knowing peace as an energy. Our bodies relax. We know that all is well in this moment. All is well as the very truth of us. We are peace. And we have a thought of joy. And as we grab hold of that thought and begin to feel it, we can very well maybe feel it bubbling up within us. Joy that is also our true nature. We are designed, we are created as joy. To have a delight in this world that we live in. To be joyous and joyful just because. And we carry this joy with us as we live our lives so that people can feel that and experience that as they come into our circle. We are joy. We say each week that we are here to be the light of the world. We just sang that. And I believe that is true. I believe it to be true for myself. And so as we think about, as we feel that we are love, we are peace, and we are joy, we embody those energies. We become those here and out in the world. And so I invite us now, just for a few moments in silence, to think love, to feel love, to be love, to think peace, to feel peace, to be peace, and to think and feel and be joy in the silence. These times of connection are renewing, are revitalizing, rejuvenating to us. It helps us to anchor in again with the truth. It helps us to navigate these churning waters of our outer lives in peace, as love, and in joy. And as we do each week, we give thanks. We give thanks for this awareness of the truth of our beings. We give thanks that we can choose how we express as the Christ. We give thanks that we have had a teacher, a way shower, that taught us Jesus the Christ. And so let us finish this time together, this time of connection, this time of contemplation, by repeating and affirming the words of the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.